You're listening to Dynamite Fallout on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, saints and sinners, you're listening to Dynamite Fallout with your hosts, Chuck Elite and Christian Killjoy, brought to you by World Generation Podcast Network. And now, Dynamite Fallout.
Everybody, it's great of you to join us. Welcome to Dynamite Fallout. I am Chuck Elite, and with me, my good friend, as always, Christian. I say, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, my brother. We just witnessed night one of AEW Fighter Fest, which I will remind you again is a TV special, sort of like those specials like in pay-per-views and all that, but it's a special nonetheless. It's a yearly special, so we're down with night one, and it will continue to next week and night two, so there we're at.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, that's awesome that you brought that up right off the bat, because oddly enough, I was in the green room. And I was wondering that same thing. When does night two take place? Is it this Friday? Is it next week? What the hell? And so right off the bat, we get into the meat and the bones of it. And that's right, I said the meat and the bones, damn it. And you get this right out there in the open, Christian. I want to thank you for that, my friend. I want to thank you for that very much. So let's get,
Night one also continues with Rampage, in case people get confused. That's right. Fest is twice in 1 week. We have night one for Dynamite, night one for Rampage. Then we got night two for Dynamite and possibly night two for Rampage. So.
Wow. So much wrestling. I like it. So it gives you many choices. Many viewing choices besides, you know, the great big monster. But moving right along, tonight's Fighter Fest Night 1 emanates from Savannah, Georgia, the Market Arena. And so here we go to kick off the show. We had Orange Cassidy and Wardlow coming out. A little late on the bell there, but...
It was for the TNT title.
For the TNT title, no less. Mr. Mayhem Wardlow, champion, versus challenger Orange Cassidy with best friends. And so right away, I knew who was going to win this match going in. I was like, okay, well, first of all, I knew who was going to win, right? But I didn't expect it to be the match that we had, okay? And I'll tell you, well, my problem with it is that it's so freaking unbelievable. Orange Cassidy was just beating up 20 guys a couple of weeks ago, and now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Orange Cassidy is giving him problems, although he's with best friends, you know.
But, well, you have to understand. And this is the most interesting part of the match, right? Was it me only that thought of this, or did you think Orange Cassidy was a little bit heelish tonight? Not only Orange Cassidy, but his group. Because in the beginning part of the match, the Puttin' Club fucking distracted Wardlow, and they tried to attack him with a chainsaw underneath the ring, and they got both kicked out. And then Wardlow grabbed Danhausen underneath the ring, and Danhausen distracted him long enough for Orange Cassidy to hit a cheap shot. I mean, I can't be the only one to see that it was kind of heelish of Orange Cassidy's group, right?
Well, it was. And so, I mean, I don't know how that – I mean, they're supposed to be baby faces. But, you know, I guess these days, man, the lines are going to blur. and they're just going to be like that. And so, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how to, to me, you know, the booking of it was like, I mean, it was a good match. Okay. And so I'm just like, to me, Orange Cassidy is unbelievable in, you know, this match. But I mean, I don't know. I guess, you know, he's been hurt. They're bringing him back. They brought him back. I mean, still, I just thought that it was too long of a match for Wardlow being the quote-unquote beast that he is, Mr. Mayhem. If he's Mr. Mayhem, why did it take till fucking 20 minutes after for this match to be over? That was
well, you have to understand, he has to have one legit wrestling match now and again. He can't have every short match.
So there you have it, Wardlow with the win. The ending of this match was quite interesting. You had OC hitting a Topes Suicida for throwing Wardlow into the ring post repeatedly. And then we go back in the ring. Orange Cassidy goes for the diving DDT, but Wardlow ends up catching him.
What a powerbomb, yeah.
Yeah. So, we have the Stun Dog Millionaire in there, and then an orange punch and a beach break.
Yeah.
We had all the stops. He pulled all the stops, but Wardlow kept kicking out. And
yeah.
Then, of course, he had OC going for the orange punch again, but Wardlow catches him in midair, hits him with the powerbomb for the win. You know what I noticed was interesting about this powerbomb, too, man? Well,
yeah.
And I actually like it. I actually like this part of it was the camera angle that they used for the powerbomb. Like, typically, WWE will use side shots of shit like that. And you see them executed from the side. These guys did a straight up powerbomb right into the camera. Or wait a minute, did he? I know Castagnoli did that. It was right into the camera where he did his. Was one
sort of like
the same, or did they do a side shot?
It was sort of like a pop up powerbomb.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, so your winner and the champion, Wardlow, retained.
Yeah.
Still the TNT champion. And he's going to be TNT champion for a while, I would imagine. You got Wardlow at the end with the good act of sportsmanship, picking up the OC.
Yeah.
Giving him a fist bump and shit. So, I mean, like I said, the match was, you know, they put together a good match. I'm not going to take anything away from the match. They put together a damn good match. I just don't like, I guess, Orange Cassidy going against Wardlow. To me, it's unbelievable, man. I don't like that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are.
I personally think that the best friends are going to turn on Orange Cassidy.
I think so, too. I think that's happened. It's coming probably sooner rather than later.
Because the way that they're dressed and the fact that they have sunglasses, that's a heel shit to do. And then they try to cheat in the match. I mean, either they're turning heel or Orange Cassidy's turning heel. Somebody is turning heel here.
Somebody's going to turn on somebody. I mean, Orange Cassidy did everything. He pulled out all the stops on this one. He cheated. He went after Wardlow's knee. All the heel shit. He outsmarted him. Everything. So maybe it's going to be him that turns on them. Could be. Stranger things have happened. So then we had Chris Jericho coming out.
Yeah.
Calls himself a living legend. And Eddie Kingston's superior, no less. He says, he went on to say that everything that Kingston does for friendship turns to mold. And then he says that being best friends with him is a curse. He talks about how Ortiz's head was shaved, Santana's knee was taken out, and then he even goes on to talk about Bryan Danielson, no less. That he was taken out, and we don't even know when he's coming back.
Bryan Danielson is not even friends with Eddie Kingston, so Jericho got that wrong.
You know what? He did, because last thing I know, they were going to start a feud. Ruby Soho, he talks about Ruby Soho. and how they, you know, took her arm out last week, Dusty Rhodes style.
Well, they didn't really take her out. All they did was just slam her hand. They didn't really even take her out. All they did was just slam her fingers on a car door. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a Dusty Rhodes light, Four Horsemen light. He talks about Ruby's hand being hurt because she's, you know, he says that Kingston needs to take better care of his chicks. So he's being a clear bad guy. He continues talking about how, you know, Kingston's never been in a barbed wire match, but how he won the very first barbed wire match in Canadian history when he was 22 years old, no less.
Who?
Chris Jericho said that. He claimed that he won the first barbed wire match in Canadian history. That's what he said. When he was 22 years old, no less. I don't know if that's verifiable or what, but that's what he said.
Unless he met in ECW. That's the only place I would think.
I mean, it could have been, but he said in Canadian history, so I don't know what exactly he meant. Maybe we could verify that for next week. He also said that that even though there was pain, that he found pleasure in it.
Yeah.
He said that he's just as a sick son of a bitch as Kingston is. And then he went on to say that he's going to be facing the Painmaker next week. So it's not going to be Jericho, because when he first came out, he was like, this is not Chris Jericho, the sports entertainer. This is not Chris Jericho, the whatever the hell, the magician and blah, blah, blah. But he didn't mention the Painmaker. And so apparently we are going to get this Painmaker versus Kingston coming soon, because he says that if Kingston wants blood, he's going to get it. Christian?
No, he's gonna face him next week, Painmaker.
So this is coming up next week for free?
Yeah, night two, yeah.
God, this is badass. I can't wait till next week.
So in case nobody knows who the Painmaker is or what the Painmaker is a gimmick that Jericho used in New Japan when he faced New Japan wrestlers. So this is a New Japan gimmick that he's bringing back.
Wow. I've seen him before. I've seen him once.
Yeah.
I don't remember against who it was. I think it was against a Japanese guy. It was free on TV. It wasn't on pay-per-view.
It was against multiple people. I think he faced Kenny Omega with it. I think he faced Tanahashi with it.
I think that's the one I saw.
And Okada. And that's it.
He told them also, Jericho mentioned, and this is the part I like. This is the part I like. Because it's gone on long enough. They got to kill this shit. And he said, this is it. This is the final fight. And once I beat your ass, he said, maybe he didn't say that, but he said that Kingston can go back to his mental issues and drugs to cover up the fact that he will never be on Jericho's level. That's pretty fucking brutal, don't you think?
Yeah.
A little touch of realism.
I think this is going to be the end of the feud, because they've done everything they could have done with this feud. I mean, this feud started ever since 2.0 started attacking the Santana and Ortiz and Eddie Kingston, and then Jericho. And then Jericho had their match at Revolution, I think, against Eddie Kingston. Jericho lost. And then, you know, Jericho Appreciation Society was made. And then I think this is the end of the feud next week.
I would hope so. Although it's been good. I mean, you know, it was really good that last time on the pay-per-view. That crazy shit they did, that crazy match. What was it? All over the arena?
Yeah, Anarchy.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, it's going to be good next week. I'm looking forward to that match. And I was very sports entertained by Chris Jericho's promo, even though I will admit it's not his best work. We've seen him do, you know, this kind of shit before. He's done better, actually. We've seen better from him. But it was still very damn, very, very good, very entertaining.
Yeah.
So then we had a commercial. We come back, and when we come back, we had Kingston's response. Eddie Kingston's response. And yes, I was about to say Kofi. But we had Eddie Kingston's response telling Jericho that he best bring the most violent side of him. He wants the most violent side of him because it won't matter. He says that Jericho will pay with every ounce of his blood. He says that he's going to hurt him and enjoy it. So
he also said,
motherfuckers here.
he also said, look at what you did to Ruby. Look at what you did to Ortiz. And I'm on my TV, I'm like, are you fucking stupid? You're comparing a woman with a broken hand to a man who got his head shaved. There is no fucking comparison, all right? His hair is going to grow back. Her hand is fucking broken.
Yeah. Her hand is fucked up. So we had that, and then, coming back, that was the hangover from the Jericho promo was Kingston talking about, you know, the hand and what have you, and how he's going to hurt Jericho and then enjoy it. And then we go back to, for lack of a better word, back to predictability. this is when I'm not fond of this, and they're not going to force it down my throat. I got up and I started making dinner at this point.
It was
actually
great.
I had already started, but I had started during the Wardlow match, but then I continued during this because I knew John Moxley was going to win.
Yeah, we all knew he was going to win, but it was still a great match.
I'm sure it was, but I'm not. They're not going to force this shit on me. They're not going to force this shit on me. I don't care about it. There's no feud. There's no nothing. It's just a fucking match out of nowhere.
Well,
I mean, I could put on fucking Pluto for that shit.
Well, it's like an initiation, you know. They want to know if this guy is good enough to sign with the company. So they make him do these, like important matches. They had him face Eddie Kingston, and now they had him face John Moxley tonight. So think of it like it's like an initiation. They want to see how he's good, and, you know, he passed.
What is the Japanese guy's name?
Takeshi.
Takeshi. But it looks like Takeshita. Yeah. If you look at it, you pronounce it Takeshita, but yet it's Takeshi. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But I digress. So we had the match. A world title eliminator match. Can you describe that for us? What exactly is this eliminator match, Christian?
It's basically like those garbage fucking championship contenders matches in fucking WWE. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. I got it. So a garbage championship contender match.
Yeah, if he beats the world champion, then he gets a title shot. If he doesn't, then he's done. So that's what it was.
So he got taken out at the end by a bulldog choke. I did manage to watch the... I would say the last 4 minutes or so of this. What I saw was good, but it's not going to make me excited about it. If I got something to do, I'm going to do it because this has no story behind it. Just something fucking random.
Yeah.
Tony King cut a promo on Darby Allin.
Yeah, he's feuding with Darby Allin.
They're passed together and shit and says that He will take what he deserves by taking from Allen.
Yeah, they showed clips of, I guess, a convention. I don't know where the fuck this took place because I don't watch Dark or Elevation. Either they were at a convention or some other shit. So they showed clips of Darby Allen getting fucking destroyed by
Brody
King.
I read about this. Actually, I saw the clip. I got it on my feed, on my Google feed, my Google News feed, and I saw it. So that's what he was talking about. Okay. Yeah, he went and beat the shit out of him. And then Darby Allin kept going with the signing.
Yeah.
Tough guy that he is.
No, that's just called not selling. That's bad. Don't fucking...
Tough guy.
Don't
tough guy that
in...
he is, a pipsqueak. They should have taken him out, and that's it. He's
yeah,
done.
Don't continue signing in anything. Just sell what just happened. I hate that.
What do the old guys think of this shit?
Jim Cornette is having a heart attack. Not for real, but, you know.
Yeah.
Because he hates
I bet. Oh, my God. Corny's got to be all fucked up about it. Wonder how the other guys feel about that. I mean, that is, I mean, you know what I mean? They work so hard for this shit. And now he's, everybody,
yeah.
I mean, get the fuck out of here. He went back to signing autographs and shit.
That's ruining the business. You can't just take a nasty power bomb and then go back sitting down and sign more autographs like it was nothing. That's terrible. No. Can't do that.
So indeed, that's what happened, and that's what Brody King was referring to. That happened earlier in the week. You can go back and watch the clips if you want. I watched it. I got it on my feet. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? And because I just now started looking into Brody King, found out apparently he's a singer in a band.
That's fine.
Some kind of death metal band or some type of shit. I don't know.
I got another thing I have a gripe with the House of Black. Well, not the group itself, but their newest member, Julia Hart. What the fuck has she done since joining this fucking group? Again, I don't fucking watch Elevation or Dark, okay? But what the fuck has she done in Dynamite or Rampage since joining this fucking group? Absolute fuck all. She hasn't done anything.
What's her name?
Julia Hart.
Great. Another nobody joining TV.
She hasn't done anything.
Yeah, I tell you, that's my problem with TNA. I mean, with Impact. I'm sorry. Shit, with Dynamite, they got a bunch of nobodies. So great, this is going to be another nobody out of nowhere coming in, kicking ass, putting on 17-minute matches.
She didn't do anything with the Varsity Blondes with Brian Pillman Jr. and the other guy, and now she's not doing anything with the House of Black. She's just...
Oh, it's that chick?
Horrible. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's even worse. Then I thought it was some new chick. So we had Christian Cage and Luchasaurus come out. And
yeah.
Of course the Varsity Blondes are already in the ring. Christian trashes them by talking shit, you know, saying that Pillman
Brian
fits nicely
Pillman.
With the hillbillies in Georgia. He continues his heelish shit. He talks about Jungle Boy and Pillman, how he had a father. He says that he was a legend in other people's opinions, but he was average at best.
I thought he would respect Brian Pillman because, you know, didn't Brian Pillman join a Canadian stable in the Hart Foundation?
Yeah,
I thought
did,
as a fellow
yeah.
Canadian, he would respect Brian Pillman.
He goes on to say that he still respects him, but that he would be appalled that his final contribution to the business is Pillman Jr.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
what
pretty fucking heelish. Yeah, exactly. You're right. What a filthy Canadian. He talks about Griff Garrison, whoever the hell that is, looking like
that's his
Jungle
partner,
Boy.
Brian Pillman Jr.'s partner, the guy who was with him in the ring.
And then he threw, you know, he got Luchasaurus to go after him.
Which we still don't know why Luchasaurus suddenly hates Jungle Boy for some reason. That's never explained yet. We still don't know why.
What do you think about these bad booking decisions? Man, I mean, like, I'm bitching about it. I bitched about it last week. I'm bitching about it now. What do you think about it?
I think that...
We've seen some crazy moves, man. Is it time for Tony to get help, bro?
I don't know. I just think that all... AEW is great with wrestling, but the booking lately has been fucking questionable. Like... First WWE's booking on Monday was horrible. Now this is being questionable. I don't know what the fuck is going on with these wrestling shows right now.
I didn't even tune in Monday, bro. I can't do it anymore,
fucking
bro.
Fucking dog shit.
I can't do it, dude.
Questionable.
I just can't get myself to do it, man. I'm glad that you're doing it, dude. I mean, still, I mean.
That's questionable.
But I can't do it right now. I can't do it, dude. So we had a quick little, match. Very quick. Luchasaurus beating down Garrison.
I was
kicked
at the
his
kitchen
head into the ring
at this
post.
Point. I was at the
Got
kitchen
a,
at this point because I didn't pay attention to this.
It went by like this, bro. Got him with a couple of choke slams, and then that was it. Got him with the tar pit.
The table didn't break, by the way.
Got him with a tar pit submission. He continued beating up the blondes after that.
Yeah. He tried choke slamming Gareth to the table. It did not break. Then he choke slammed Brian Pillman Jr. on top of Gareth. The table still wouldn't break.
Yeah. We had a faulty table. The irony.
Even when two men's weight was on the table still wouldn't break.
A fucking stubborn table, bro. Someone forgot to pull the pins.
Yeah.
So then we go to the back, and the Jericho Appreciation Society is talking about the barbed wire match next week. And the fact that... the Jericho Appreciation Society members will be locked in a shark cage. I didn't see very much dirt sheets this week. Been trying to stay away from them. But I did get a notice. I'm getting them on my phone now. Notices and shit. And I got a notice about this shark cage. I didn't open it. But I knew there was a shark cage imminent. I thought I was going to see it tonight. Turns out we'll be seeing it next week.
They're going to all be hanging in a shark cage. I'm telling you right now, I am positive somebody's going to have an object inside that fucking cage, and they're going to throw it down the ring. And instead of Jericho catching it, it's going to be Eddie Kingston catching the object, and that's how fucking Jericho loses. His own faction fucks him over by accident.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good call, bro.
What's going to happen? And then Jericho's going to say, you fucking idiots can't do nothing right. First you lose at Blood and Guts, now this. You guys are fucking worthless.
He's going to turn on his own crew again?
Yeah, because that's what he does. He turns on his fucking own crew. He did it with fucking Inner Circle, and he's probably going to do it on his faction again.
I think that they are... setting up something more devious. I think it might be more people come in. And I think that somebody's going to turn on Kingston and join the full circle. And join the Jericho Appreciation Society. And fucking Jericho wins. Kingston loses. That's the end of the feud. Somebody betrays Kingston and they get thrown in the Jericho Appreciation Society. The Jericho Appreciation Society rolls on. And I think it's going to keep on rolling till we get NWO type shit.
Probably.
That's the feeling I got tonight, but we'll see. I do like your idea too. I mean, well, I don't, not that I like it, but I could see them doing that. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But I like
my idea better tonight, until
it gets really fucked up, because you know it will. When you start running around with 12 guys in a fucking faction, bro, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, they already got, what, like 6 guys or some shit?
Let's see. They have Hager. They have Danny Garcia. They have the other two 2.0 members. They have Sammy Guevara, and then they have Ty Cunny.
Oh, the chick now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking they're going to pull NWO type shit here and keep this shit going for a while. And then I think that they're going to end up getting so many guys, and they're all, there's no big names, right? There's no big names, okay? And then they're going to end up beating down the Bullet, the club or whatever the hell, the Bat Club.
Yeah, there's only, the only big names in that group are Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, and Jericho. That's it, because they were in the original Inner Circle.
Right, and then you got that pipsqueak Danny Garcia, who's the only one that could maybe emerge. Because the other two guys are just a bunch of fuckos.
Yeah. And Ty Cunny is a lost cause, because she can't... tonight, she showed you tonight, she can't fucking talk worth a shit.
Yeah, she's rough, man. She's rough around the edges. They got a lot of balls putting her on TV, bro. Giving her TV time.
We'll
talk
about her when
she balls for that.
Get to that point, yeah.
So, so that was that.
We had James Hager versus Claudia.
Then, this was a weird segment, dude. I mean, fucking, first of all, Hangman Page... fucking looking like a complete loon, bro, with his outfit and his hair the way he had it. I mean, what kind of cowboy is that? That's a fucking, not even a drugstore cowboy, bro.
He's having a midlife crisis. He doesn't know who he wants to be anymore.
That's a half a cowboy, if that.
Yeah.
That's a quarter cowboy. He looked like a fucking quarter cowboy out there, bro. I mean, hell, what the fuck?
I think he needs to turn heel. I'm sorry. He needs to join with the club again, the Bullet Club. You know, the Undisputed Elite.
Yeah, something needs to happen with this guy, because he has absolutely ruined himself.
Yeah, I mean,
so
he was good for a while. It's good for a while, his face run, but now he needs to turn back heel. So.
Yeah. He's done. He got approached tonight by the Dark Order, talking about how they want a tag team, or they want a team with them, you know, against House of Black in a trios match. So we get that coming up, what, Friday? Friday, right?
Probably.
I think so. I think that got announced for Friday, but I'm not sure. By the way, I missed Dynamite last week. I didn't get to catch it. But
no, you didn't.
I know they were going to have a good match. Huh?
No, you didn't. We reviewed it last week. Don't you remember? We said the card.
No, not Dynamite. But I mean Rampage.
Yeah, there you go.
I missed Rampage Friday. So anyway, let's see. Then we had Jake Hager and Claudio. And they always got to refer to him as Claudio Castagnoli. Castagnoli.
Yeah, that's his indie.
They can't just refer to him as Claudio. They got to say
his name
every time.
Well, then at WWE, they don't cut people's names off, so.
Well, I mean, I know, dude, but I mean, like, I mean, I suppose you're right. They don't say, they say Jake Hager. They call William Regal.
Yeah.
Danny Garcia, Chris Jericho. So, yeah, I suppose you're right. Damn it. That was strange. That's awkward. This is awkward. Totally ruined my fucking comedy. My comedy skit that I was going to do there. Fuck it. We continue.
Damn it. Sorry.
Nah, it's all good, man. Hey, you made a damn good point. Serena Deeb is Serena Deeb, and Anna Jay is Anna Jay, and they're all there. So Claudio won. We knew he was going to win, obviously.
It was the Real Americans reunion tour.
Yeah. And, you know, again, another good hard-hitting match. Yeah, I mean, these guys bring it every time on a high level. We know what they're capable of. They used to hang with guys like fucking Sheamus, who will absolutely beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, guys, they beat the shit out of each other. So, yeah, I loved it. Yeah, but again, Tom.
And again, this proves my point that what might happen next week, because the Inner Circle couldn't even get the job done in helping Jake Hager win his match. And so I think Jericho's going to say, you guys are fucking useless. You can't do nothing right.
Damn, he's going to take Hager and ride off solo, huh? Just him and Hager.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're going to have some other people step up and join in and beat the shit out of those two nobodies and be his new lackeys, and they're a little bit more star power. And them guys are just a bunch of fucking, they're just a bunch of hanger-ons, man.
Yeah, you guys are fucking useless. You do nothing.
I saw that one of them, their name is Chuck Taylor.
No, Chuck Taylor is one of the best friends.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's one of the best friends, Chuck Taylor. Yeah, I'm going to be Chuck Taylor. How fucking original. I mean, not that, you know, Chuck Elite is any different. Talk about a fucking hypocrite, huh? Oh, my God.
Nah, but Chuck
no,
Elite.
No, my last name is actually Chuck Elite. Taylor. Everybody knows that. But I digress. Jake Hager versus Claudio Castagnoli with William Regal, no less. Good hard-hitting match. At the end, we had Claudio win with a Ricola bomb.
He should be calling that the Ricola bomb. He should be calling it the E. Cola bomb. That was...
You're absolutely right, though, about them guys couldn't even get the job done. So we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be interesting to see. I like the way you're setting it up already. You've set it up. I've set up something different. We'll see. Something's going to happen. But something is going to happen. So then we go to the back, and it's, you know, another a nobody. Somebody named Lexi there. She tried to interview Hook, this kid Hook. But of course, you know, I guess he can't talk because he just walks away. He's too awkward.
Here's the thing with Hook, right? When the fuck is he going to have a legit match with somebody? And also, is he even still affiliated with Team Taz? Because this guy, even though he's Taz's son, right, he hasn't mentioned Taz at all. He hasn't been with the other Team Taz members in any promos or any segments. Is this guy even still affiliated with Taz at all? What the fuck?
Hey, you mentioned that last week. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Next was kind of strange. They showed footage of Thunder Rosa. It was like footage of her losing to somebody in Japan.
Yeah. She can't even win in Japan. That's our AEW Women's Champion, everybody. Way to represent.
Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter interrupting. Talking about how Rosa's tried to give everyone else some space, but AEW is a disaster. Or talking about how she's been trying to give everyone else space in reference to, you know, Thunder Rosa and everybody.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The place has been a disaster without her. I'm not too sure she's wrong.
Yeah, she's not wrong. This is
she started mocking Rosa and Storm. Go ahead, buddy.
By the way, this is the first time Britt Baker's been seen on TV for a while. This is her return, by the way.
I hope so, because shit, man, I've missed her. I mean, you know, they're in dire need of more talent over there. And without her, I mean, she was carrying that company for a while now, I guess. She probably could have, you know, the break probably did her good, bro.
Yeah.
the break probably did her good. I'm not too sure it's she's cutting it a little bit short because they need her that bad that she just has to return. Because that's what it looks like. Because, man, their women's division, wow. They need some more star power. But I digress. So she started mocking Rosa and Storm for their team name.
Yeah, Thunderstorm.
So, yeah, that was that.
No, you forgot about the best part. They brought in a bag of sand in the segment.
Oh, yeah.
because fucking Thunder Rosa sandbags in her fucking matches.
Yes. you talk about a low blow, bro.
No, that's AEW even acknowledging what we're saying is true, that she sandbags her fucking matches.
So, wow.
Even AEW knows that she's shit.
Yeah, because Tony Schiavone brought that up. He talked about it. I remember him talking about it.
Even AEW knows that Thunder Rosa is shit as champion. Even they know.
So there we go. So then we had Serena Deeb versus Anna Jay. I was finishing dinner at this point. Missed the whole thing.
What happened was Anna Jay is still a jobber because she's part of the Dark Order. It was a short, nice match, but Anna Jay lost by tapping out the Serena Deeb. Then Mercedes, the ROH Women's Champion, came out and saved Anna Jay. And that's about it. Nothing really to report on it.
So there you go. So it's a good time for a little break. We'll take a little break, and then we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, Swervely.
Yeah,
Swervely. We got a new team out there, guys. It's called Swervely. So, yeah, we'll check that out when we come back after these words on Dynamite Fallout. Stay where you're at. Cigar Studios in Houston, Texas. You're listening to Dynamite Fallout, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Friendly Fire Cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, VAO, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry, Ashford, Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there. So you want to talk about politics, right? But you also want to talk about bears and some other newsworthy items you may have missed. Well, hey, join me, Chuck Amok, and the Unusual Suspects as we get down and dirty on the Full Tilt Billy Show, a show where we talk about some of the craziest things going on in the Beltway and beyond. The Boogie, that Friday night, right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Check your local news.
World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Welcome back. Dynamite Fallout right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. Chuck Elite with Christian Killjoy catching you up on all the latest madness that is All Elite Wrestling.
Well, before we continue, I saw something on Twitter that kind of pissed me off right now when we went to break.
Uh-oh. Continue.
Hold on for 1 minute. Hold on. I got to get my notes.
Notes. Nothing like a little bit of
I got my notes. I found the Twitter thing. This is from the Nature Boy himself, Ric Flair, 3 hours ago. He had some pretty interesting comments about Chris Jericho, especially on his promo. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Living legend in your own mind. Shawn Michaels wannabe. Ric Flair never will be. Woo. Where did you buy that cheap suit? Obviously not from Gent's Playbook. What the fuck is Ric Flair's problem with Chris Jericho? This is the second time now that he fucking insulted Chris Jericho now, saying that Chris Jericho's not the GOAT. What the fuck is his problem?
I'll tell you what his problem is, man. His problem is that guys like me, who have always loved Ric Flair, are now giving that love to, you know, Chris Jericho. That's what his problem is. And he's clearly getting worked by Chris Jericho. He's getting worked, bro. Who's he going to go after next? Christian?
We might as well, because Ric Flair's been going after everybody. He went after Sting for some reason, and then he went after fucking a lot of people.
He's out of control. He got his little signature deal back on WWE. I was reading.
Oh, great!
His little woo.
Great.
I read, maybe it was Tuesday or sometime last week that he was so happy, man. He was so happy. He tweeted something about it and I got the article on my feed.
Fuck.
I didn't read it. Actually, I did read a little bit of it. I just read the quotes talking about how he was so happy, kissing ass and blah, blah, blah. Did he already have his final match?
No, he didn't have his final match because he needs a placeholder in his chest or something, and then his peace holder, whatever the fuck. And plus, he's too old.
Because I know he was working out with people, and he was going to have the final match. I thought it would have already happened by now. Is it one of them deals where it was supposed to happen, and then it didn't happen because he didn't have his shit together? Is that what it is?
I don't know, maybe. I don't even know who the fuck his opponent was. They never even said who his opponent was.
Well, I guess we'll keep you posted on that if it happens. Or who the hell knows? Maybe not, because I don't really keep up with the news that much. Only what I get on my feed. It's not like I go searching for shit.
Yeah.
So here
anyway.
We are towards the end, bro, winding down. There was some other shit that went down in between there, but let's go ahead and delete that. It was nothing good, really. It was Jade Cargill and them.
Yeah, the new girl, which, again, they don't want anything to do with her. This new girl has not cut a single promo of why she wanted to join this group or anything. So already she's useless.
Well, we might as well go with it. Tay Conti came out because you did say you were going to talk about it a little bit. We'll get to that when we get to it later, you said.
So Tay Conti came out and been sarcastic with Anna Jay, who, by the way, were former friends and now they're not. Tay Conti, man, no wonder they never gave this. First of all, she's shit in wrestling. She's a horrible wrestler, right? I watched her in NXT. She was awful in NXT, and she's still awful to this day right now. My God, she has such a thick Brazilian accent, she can't talk worth a shit. No wonder they never gave this woman the world title. She can't talk. She's terrible. Embarrassing.
So there you go. She can't talk. It's embarrassing. It's terrible. It's the worst. And yeah, that's why they're desperately in need of, you know, the DMD. The DMD or whatever the hell. They need somebody. They need Sasha Banks. They need somebody else. At this point, they need Naomi, too.
Yeah.
And you know how they say that Naomi probably won't be able to go there or whatever? Or they, I mean, at this point, they need her, too. Shit, as bad as she was. They bring back Cameron, too. Fuck it. They need something, bro.
Naomi's not that bad of a wrestler. She's decent, Naomi. Or Trinity, part two.
Yeah, Trinity, there you go. That's what we need to start calling her now. So we come up with Swervely.
Yeah.
Instead of Swervely.
Yeah.
That's their name, you know, like J-Lo or whatever the hell, or what are all these names?
It was a triple threat tag title match between Swervely, Rick Hobbs, and Young Buck.
The Hardy Boy Calls players.
Yeah. It was a great triple threat tag title match. It was fantastic. And surprising, it was the most shocking thing. Swervely actually won, and they're the new tag team champions. That was the biggest surprise of the night, you know. I didn't think the titles were going to change hands. I'm not going to lie to you.
I didn't either. I'm not going to lie to you either. I mean, I have no reason to lie. It was it was shocking. I was thoroughly shocked. Never in my wildest dreams would I imagine that these guys were going to capture the titles tonight. On television.
Although there could be a reason why they won the tag titles, because before the show, Keith Lee went online and said that one of the people closest to him, something happened to him. And after the show, they had their YouTube channel. They posted a footage of after the show went off the air, Keith Lee grabbed the mic and he announced that one of his friends, or if not both of them, I don't remember, had stage 4 colon cancer. I think one of their friends had stage 4 colon cancer. I don't know about the other guy. Maybe he does have the same thing. Maybe he doesn't. But he dedicated the match to his friends. And he said, win or lose, it didn't matter. He was dedicating the match. So it's a great thing that he won the tag titles. You know, it was a feel-good moment. And you know what's the most
shocking thing of them all, he cut a damn good promo off the air, and I'm like sitting there, I'm like, why the fuck can he not cut promos like this when he's on fucking TV? Like, if he cuts promos like this, it would be great, but when he's on TV, he cuts terrible fucking promos. Why can't he cut promos like this?
And you know what, man? I actually liked the match. I was impressed with the match. I missed, like, the first, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes of it. No, I didn't. I didn't miss. I missed the entrances. I caught the beginning of it, the ridiculousness that they had with Swerve charging at Nick, but Nick doing a backflip to the outside.
Yeah.
And Swerve flipping over the air at the exact same time with both dudes landing on their feet. You talk about some ridiculous outlandish shit, but you know what? It's funny, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. another thing, right? The Young Bucks, that was the most horrible tag title run ever. That was the shittiest tag title run ever.
I mean, it makes me question why they even did it. It had to be because the fucking Hardys were going to win, bro.
Probably.
It had to be. And they had to fucking put it on them out of nowhere.
They could have just had the Jurassic Express just retain them, you know.
And so now they dropped it, what, 3 or 4 weeks later? You know.
A month. They only held it
for a month.
It was nothing. It was nothing.
They did my favorite move, man, Swerve and Lee, where Swerve springboards himself off of Lee's big chest.
I love
that shit. Oh, and then the shit that Ricky Starks did, too. And then they did it back. They did it, let's see, who else did it? You know, where they go up the ropes and then they do a cutter from the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was entertaining. I was entertained by this match, bro.
My favorite spot was when Will Hobbs did multiple spine busters on top of Keith Lee.
Oh, yeah. When he was stacking people. He was stacking pipsqueaks.
Yeah.
He was stacking all them pipsqueaks on top of each other. That was funny. And then we had, the end.
The most impressive thing.
Swerve moonsaulted off of Lee's chest onto the Bucks and Hobbs on the floor.
Not only that, but Keith Lee did the most impressive thing so far in his AEW run so far. The only
there
thing impressive. In his matches was a suicide dive. That's about it. That's the most interesting thing you're going to get out of Keith Lee.
A somersault plancha, they call it.
Yeah.
A somersault plancha onto the, you know, the scrum on the floor. That was badass. I enjoyed that match. I didn't realize it had that much meaning behind it. But good for them, because Keith Lee did pull off his best move that he's had in AEW.
No, I'll tell you one thing. Swerve Strickland's move is not only fucking garbage. His finishing move is not only garbage. It's fucking dangerous. He could have seriously hurt Ricky Stark's fucking eyes with the fucking foot of his boots. That could have landed so wrong.
You talking about that swerve stomp?
Yeah. That could have gone so wrong. His boots literally could have stomped on Ricky Stark's eyes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a good match. I really enjoyed it. I got to be honest, though. I thought it was fucking 3-on-3 for a while. I shit you not, because I missed the very beginning, the entrances and shit. By the time I got in there, there was chaos and mayhem going on. Because the whole match was chaos and mayhem. So it looked like it was 3-on-3 for a while to me and shit. And then finally towards the end, I picked up the deal. I thought it was a damn good match. I was highly entertained. It was, nonstop action from bell to bell. They had a damn good match.
Yep.
Come to find out, it was dedication and shit to a gentleman with stage 4 colon cancer. Ooh. God bless that guy, whoever he may be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was a good match. What did you think?
I thought it was a great match. To be honest, bro, this show was a bit doo-doo. I'm not going to lie. It was a bit doo-doo.
That was that was the last fucking match.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did leave me wanting a little more. I mean, yeah. It was worse last week, and that brings it up, dude, the fact. Remember last week, bro, we talked about the rating? And I was like, it's going to be a shitty fucking rating. And they said it was a damn good rating.
Yeah, it was a damn good rating because, you know. It was good.
I freaked out on that, bro. I guess maybe because the playoffs and all that shit are done, people are back.
Yeah.
I didn't care for all that, Yeah, I mean, the only match I really cared for was the end. I was really entertained by that match. And I thought they put on a good performance.
Yeah, but
you thought the whole thing was a big doo-doo?
Yeah, it was kind of lackluster to me. I mean, first of all, Wardlow was never going to lose the title against Orange Cassidy. John Moxley was never going to lose to this guy. What else happened on this show? The show was so lackluster, I don't even remember the rest of the show.
They got a lot of possibilities going on with their tag division. Where do you think they go from here?
I think Swerve Strickland is going to... I think the team's going to face somebody else. Either the Young Bucks for a rematch or maybe FTR.
And FTR is going to grab another belt and really prove that they are the, undisputed. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Maybe in boxing there's been somebody that's had that many belts, but in wrestling, I don't think so.
Kenny Omega got to do it, so I wouldn't see why FTR couldn't.
So we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here, my friend. So is that all we got this week?
Yeah, that's all we got for this week so far, yeah.
Coming up on Dynamite, we got that match. I'm going to try to watch this week. I forgot what match it is, but it's going to be a match, and it's going to be a good match. Oh, it's going to be the Jericho match. No, that's
the
next week.
Wire match.
That's next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's next week. So I'm looking forward to that. There's going to be a good match on Dynamite, but I can't remember what it is. But I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I get to watch it. So, that's it. This has been the show. Christian from Philly, close us out, my friend. You're closing us out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. This has been AEW Dynamite Fallout. Tune in next week when we talk about Night 2 of Fighter Fest. For the Jericho Kingston barbed wire fight. Tune in next week, everybody.
We'll see you next time. Dynamite Fallout. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.